Caravan.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, joined, as always, by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, Tommy?
Tom, well, I had an incident yesterday that reminded me of a song we have talked about on this very show.
Ooh.
I don't know if you'll remember.
Was it an isolated incident? Not unlike the one Dane Cook had in a nightclub where that was filmed.
It was not. I think you'll understand the entirety of the story by the words you hear next from our friends in UB40.
She's a brick. Yep.
There was a rat in
there
me kitchen.
There was a rat in me kitchen. How has this happened to us more than once that song is applicable?
You could also do rat in a cage maybe for that topic. Maybe not.
Well, the problem is the rat was not in a cage.
That's a good point.
Well, you haven't seen my kitchen, brother. It's a big cage.
Yeah, there's wrestling matches in there. It's like a, what do they call that? Like a hell where you got a ladder escape out of a cage.
A cage match.
Yeah. Cage match. That's it. The more obvious thing.
Like Spider-Man had to do in that movie.
Yes.
Which had a song from someone in the band.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. All right. Let's not get too far ahead. We got to cover a bunch of bullshit before we get into the actual thing that people are trying to listen to. By the way, our guest today is Jacob Williams. Thanks for coming on, Jacob.
Thanks for having me. I'm feeling great. It's good to be here.
We gotta check in on the rat on Ratgate.
Yeah,
so what happened
scary
with this rat?
It's not an interesting story. It's a classic New York tale of there was a weird smell in the kitchen. And mm-hmm. smelled like it was coming from the trash, so I took the trash out, and the smell was still there, so I thought, oh, I'll wash out the trash can.
Sure.
And little did I know, there was a tiny dead rat in there.
Ooh, now I've heard of a tiny desk concert, but a tiny dead rat.
So I did sing for the rat.
It's less popular.
Now, I just want to qualify, none of the stories have to be interesting. We just got to fill an hour, baby. I'm kidding. By the way, before we get any deeper into this podcast, we have to promote our show in New Orleans.
Yes.
That's coming up this very Thursday. I'm going to put this out probably immediately as soon as we're done here. Oh, shit. This is interesting. All right. Well, we'll talk about this after
the
show.
We're doing a show in New Orleans, and it is at the Broad Theater, I believe. Does that sound right?
That does sound right, yeah. Nice. And oddly enough, no broads allowed.
It's next door to the Narrow Theater.
So Broad Theater at 9 p.m. Thursday, May 26th. And we got a little advertisement, which was very nice. So
yes.
It's Tom, myself, and hated guest Shane Torres.
Yes.
Ooh, nice.
Now, famously hated guest. You guys spoke, we listened, we hate Shane now.
We're still going to have mom.
Yeah, of course.
Listen to this little, then we got a nice little write-up in the paper. You know, we're kind of comedians of note. You know?
Sure.
So, you know, we're coming to town. It's a front page news.
Yeah.
Know? In the Picayune. Well, not in the Picayune. But
no, it's in NOLA.com.
But so this advertisement we get says that it just talks about Shane the whole time.
Yeah.
And it says he tops a triple stand-up bill. Our names not mentioned again.
What the hell? Look, I get the fella has some followers, but we're only going to this fucking podunk-ass town for my bachelor party.
Yeah. We're getting topped.
What the hell? Well, I hope Shane has a good little time following this. JFK, just fucking kidding. Hopefully people could please come out.
If you live in New Orleans, this is a very good time to see
us,
because we announced the show very last minute.
It'll be very fun. The venue seems cool. Vincent Zambon's gonna be on, or Zambon, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, but he's a very funny guy out of New Orleans. Gonna be a great time, so get over there, and hell, come to my bachelor party too. Fuck it. If you come to the show, you get a free invite. I'll buy you a beer out on the streets of New Orleans. asterisk, Tom will not buy you a beer.
It'll be a hand grenade.
Yes. Ooh, I'm going to have a damn what are the hurricane out there.
Hand grenades to drink too, right? I didn't mean a weapon.
Yeah, don't say that. We're going to get arrested at the airport.
Hand grenade on.
Oh, shit. Anyways, Jacob, what's new with you? What's going on in your world?
Oh, not much. I had a dead rat in like my back patio over a few months ago. That was weird. I was relieved when you said it was dead. I was picturing a live rat running around your kitchen, which
much worse.
Had live mice in an old apartment. That was pretty scary, but nothing like that in my new. I'm pretty happy now.
Sure, that's good. I found I was looking through videos. I've been trying to post clips like everybody else now, and I was looking through videos on my phone, and I realized I have two different videos of this rat that looked dead on the subway platform. He was just chilling by the 4th Street AC stop, and then I just saw him move a little bit, and so I said, hey, I better start filming.
He's trying to prank people.
Who knows what's going to happen? Yeah. And then a crowd gathered around this seemingly dead still, because he looked alive, but he was like completely still just on the platform. And I have about 3 minutes of footage of that on my phone that I was like, I could probably delete this, but
that's a good reel.
Might come in handy someday. Yeah. Maybe I'll just post an audio of some of my stand up over that. That'll be good.
Rats playing possum.
You know what? You know what? That'll be prime Patreon content for you people. $3 a month gets you all the seemingly dead rat footage you can handle.
Well, if you think about it, you're really only paying $1 a month for each minute of that footage that you're getting. So
that's true.
Even more of a deal.
Yes. Yeah. And you can check back in on that video as much as you want. It's not a one time
viewing. We're not paywalling it.
All right. Well, we have some exciting stuff to get to.
I want to talk about, because I saw Jacob at Tim McLaughlin's party.
Bummed I missed this fucking party. Yes. I've never had more FOMO in my life. It's crazy.
Very funny of Tim to throw a crawfish boil the week before we go to New Orleans.
We're literally doing a crawfish boil. I couldn't believe he did this. He's going to be there. And he was like, I can't possibly wait one more week for one of the most involved food affairs. It's such a fucking to do, but it looked like a good time.
So I saw Jacob Wild announced Jacob Williams at the party.
Yes.
And he asked me a question. His legal name, yes.
And it was before I was even on the show, for 33 years now. It didn't make sense for a long time.
But he asked me words that we have been waiting to hear for 5 years. We started this podcast 5 years ago. We've been waiting. Has anyone covered Nickelback on your podcast?
Yeah. And finally, we had one person offer, but the scheduling, it's my fault because there was a funny, Matt Broussard had a funny tweet the other day where he's like, male bookers are like, or female bookers are like, hey, we'd love you to do our show. It's at this place. It pays this much. Here's the time and date and how much time you'll be doing. Male bookers are like, hey, could you do a spot tonight in Staten Island? And there's no money or it starts at 7 or 8 or 9. It's very funny. But it's very hard for us to book this show too far out because of our crazy schedules. We got crawfish boils to go to.
I've got rats to euthanize. Eulogize.
You did have a funeral for it, right? Yeah. I want to say we've talked about dead rats on this show more than any other podcast in podcast history. Even if there was a podcast about rats.
The Ratcast, yeah.
Anyways, our scheduling is a pain in the ass. So somebody coming to us and saying those words, that's what we're looking for. This is the dream. So let's get into it. You're here to defend Nickelback. One of the bands that people always go, did you start the podcast because of Nickelback? And it definitely was in mind. Nickelback gets a lot of fucking hate.
Yeah.
Classic hated band. We talked about it on the Patreon a little bit with a friend of the show, Toby Braithwaite.
Yeah, check that episode out if you're on the Patreon. We had a lot of fun doing that.
I'm sure we'll probably cover some of the same ground, but we'll try to stay away from it. Look, that was during the heat of the pandemic. I don't fully remember. I was drinking quite a bit back then. I mean, I'm drinking quite a bit still, but not as much as I was then. And I think we'll probably end up covering some of the same shit, but we'll try to stay away from as much as we can. But the hate, I watched a little mini documentary about Nickelback today. Oh, wow. They caught me up a little bit and reminded me of some of this stuff. And do you remember when the hate for Nickelback started?
No. I mean, I guess I just remember in general that that was like a punchline for any kind of comedy. It was like, this sucks, like Nickelback.
Yes.
But like, I guess I don't really remember.
Think what people forget is when How You Remind Me came out, and they already had a couple of radio hits before then, but not hits. But like, they had an album that did all right before the album that How You Remind Me came out with came out. And How You Remind Me was a fucking banger. Like, it was on the radio all the time. It was fun to listen to. And there was a little show on Comedy Central back in the day called Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. And they used to promote the shit out of it. I loved the show. I was I heard my buddy said he was able to find like a YouTube channel where he was able to watch all of it or something.
Oh, nice.
But great show. But they used to promote the fuck out of it. And there was one promo that changed the game for Nickelback, and it was Brian Posehn saying that metal music made people want to kill people, and Nickelback made him want to kill Nickelback. That was the joke. That's funny. And they played it all the ad nauseum, and it caught on, and a lot. It became kind of a running joke. Not that he was the first person to hate Nickelback, but a lot of their hate came from they were signed to a major metal label, and a lot of metal fans hated them for that. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. Gotcha. But anyways, so there were people like who thought they were, you know, soft and mainstream, all that shit, which is accurate. But they became a joke in the mainstream, I think, around the time of that Brian Posehn thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
So what is your history with the band? You told us a very fun fact, which is that you're going to be... Was it in a musical about Nickelback?
Yeah, actually, my friend Leah Evans, she's a talented writer and performer, improviser, actor and stuff. But so she wrote a jukebox musical to the music of Nickelback. So it's like a full script of a whole storyline of scenes and a song with these characters. And they sing like duets and ensemble and solos all to the Nickelback music as it fits within the storyline.
Is this a story about Nickelback?
No.
No,
that's not incredible. At all. It's, so it's about like these high school friends. I think it maybe starts at their reunion and flashes back to these friends in high school. Mm-hmm. So there's like love triangles, and there's a character that ends up killing themselves. And then there's, I think in one version I played one of the kids in the friend group. This time I'm playing like the principal who like catches his daughter having a party, and then he's like cracking down on that. And then I sing like a duet of Leader of Men with her. We're in different parts of the house. So we're singing different parts separately, and then we overlap, and it's like really fun. So so I did like a read through with the cast of that recently, or I think it has changed for the next one, which is, I don't know when this comes out, but we're doing a reading at like June 4th at Young Ethel's.
Shit.
8 p.m. I think. But so I'm excited about that. But yeah, I did one read through, and it was like so much fun. It was like, I hadn't listened to Nickelback in a long time. I think I heard it growing up and was like into it in middle school a little bit, and then I forgot about it. And then seeing it with other people in the context of a script and characters, it was like one of the most fun comedy things I've done in a long time. So I'm super excited to do the show in front of like a bigger audience. I think
that's awesome. Young Ethel's June 4th, right? Is that what you said? Yeah, that sounds sick.
So
I want to see this. That sounds very interesting. Tommy, what's your background with Nickelback?
You know, I definitely liked How You Remind Me when it came out, mm-hmm. because I think it was, I don't remember the exact years, but I was like, I was like a kid who was super into Pearl Jam and Nirvana and all that stuff. And this was like current, popular, watered down version of that for like my age. That was like perfect. So mm-hmm. I remember really liking it. And Chad Kroeger had like the Kurt Cobain blonde and beard look, so it like fit very in of like, hey, here's someone who's not dead, which obviously I'm, you know, saying that now with the knowledge of like comparing Nickelback to Nirvana would get you killed in certain Seattle bars. but I just think in my child's mind that was like an association I would make. And I think when Photograph came out, even as a young person, I knew to make fun of that.
Yeah.
I think
that was
Photograph
the turning point for me too, I think.
The only one I listened to today that I think is like unforgivable is If Everybody Cared. I think those are the worst lyrics of all time. I know you put that as a song you like, but I just...
No, I would agree.
So you went in because Jacob did something unprecedented. Well, maybe maybe somebody else has done this in the past, but it's been a long time because we, of course, asked the guest for 6 songs. I want to say Jacob sent us about 45 songs.
What's funny is like when you first asked for 6, I was like, I don't know if... There are 6 songs of theirs I like. And then I started listening to them, and I was like, wow, I actually love a ton of their songs. It's actually tough to like narrow it down.
I'm going
to
count them. All right. So there's 7 so right
did,
off the
I
bat.
I did a top 7.
You sent us top
7. But then I sent some backups because I just thought they
were... You sent 3 runners up, and then you sent us a list of honorable mentions. So there's already 10, 11, 12. So I'll say the honorable mentions so that people know. Someday, When We Stand Together, Make Me Believe Again, Song on Fire, What Are You Waiting For, Animals, If Everyone Cared, Trying Not to Love You, Next Contestant. That is 19 songs you sent us.
I know. I spent like an embarrassing amount of time just trying to choose the songs, so I just threw those in. I was like, to see where my head was at.
But their Nickelback fans will appreciate that.
Yes. Yes. And the runners up were Gotta Be Somebody, I'd Come For You, and Hero. Hero, notably not necessarily a Nickelback
song. That's part of why I
didn't include
it. A
Chad Kroeger song. But that is the other song that made me think like, oh, Nickelback rules. Because I loved Hero.
I definitely love that too. Because it was Spider-Man.
This
guy knows Spider-Man.
So sick. Yeah, he's in the same video with him. They must have spoken.
Yeah, it's like a very cynical view on superheroes, I feel like.
You know what's funny is, so Nickelback is in that... is in that video, or Chad Kroeger's in that video. Fellow Marvel superhero, he has another Marvel superhero defending his honor. I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was a promo. I'm gonna play it. It's called Deadpool's where did this go? Oh, of course, it's not going to load now.
Deadpool defending.
It is Deadpool defending Nickelback. Here it is. I've never heard of that. All right. So this is called Once Upon a Deadpool, and it's a weird like Fred Savage and Deadpool are hanging out, and Deadpool is reading to Fred Savage, not unlike when he was a child in the film The Princess Bride. Yeah, so here it is. I'll just play it.
Yeah, but you know, you're Marvel licensed by Fox. It's like if the Beatles were produced by Nickelback. It's music, but it sucks. Hey, that's it. I'm done. I've had it with all this Nickelback hating, right? You think that makes you cool with the cool kids in school, Fred?
No, it just makes me right.
It doesn't.
They're overproduced, formulaic ear garbage.
Oh, really? You know who might disagree with that? Facts. 50 million albums worldwide. 11th best-selling musical act of all time. Billboard's most successful rock group of the last decade. 6 Grammy nominations. 12 Juno Awards. Those count. 6 Billboard Music Awards. 2 American Music Awards. 1 People's Choice Award. Canadian. And a partridge in a pear tree.
Damn.
Wow.
Wow.
Sorry.
Wow. Deadpool just showed his whole ass.
Wow, that was a pretty good argument.
He then goes on to just sing the lyrics of How You Remind Me. It's kind of like Steven's sketch on SNL Melissa Villas New York. I mean, those are some interesting facts.
Before we move on, I have to play the chorus of If Everyone Cared.
Yes.
You're right. That song has some pretty bad.
It is the most like fourth grader lyrics of all time. No one would die.
That's not how things work.
That is,
what about old age, Nickelback?
Not true at all.
Car accident. I mean, there's so many ways you can die that have nothing to do with lying and loving.
If everyone cared, no one would die. Yeah, that's
the meaning of this song, if everyone could, each could give a little love, then the world would be a much happier place. And Tommy disagrees with that. I would call that the 2005 version of Imagine.
It really, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's just insane. to be an adult man and write those lyrics. It's like, it is truly like you picture it written in crayon. Like, if everybody loved each other, no one would die. That's what he's saying. It's the stupidest thing
everyone
in the world.
Everyone cared and nobody cried. Yeah, that fucking sucks.
Yeah. I like blaming the people who are crying.
Yeah. Where'd you cry? let's hear some of the music you did put on this list though. We've already mentioned, I feel like we got to just give people, you know, we got to give people How You Remind Me just to get it out of the way.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
You did give us Seven, and we're going to have to kind of zoom through a little bit.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
So if we have to skip one, we have to skip one.
That's totally fine. Yeah.
So let's play How You Remind Me just a little bit. Give people a taste.
It holds up. It's a great song.
It's great, and it's fun to listen to even now. It's fucking sick. I listened to it one of the seven ways to listen to music at the gym today, and it was getting me going, man. It was cool.
Yeah.
So this song was on Nickelback's second album, Silver Side Up, which came out in 2001.
Do you know the date?
That is September 11th.
It came out on September 11th, 2001.
Oh, wow.
It has to be noted.
It simply must be noted. And what happened on that day?
No. Apparently, not everyone loved. Some people
lied. That's because those people were crying. All right.
Their album was the second saddest thing. I was looking at the Genius lyrics or whatever. It said, like, I feel like it explains this song in a weird way. It says, like, the blind man is unaware of reality around it. Like, it just says, like, really obvious explanations for it.
Never thought about it that way.
Like, oh, I would not have figured that.
In an interview with MTV, Chad Kroeger said that he wrote the song about his old girlfriend, Jody, with whom he had a rather dysfunctional relationship. He kept the lyrics ambiguous, which accounts for much of the song's success, as many people could relate to an ex who started pointing out all of your faults at the same time and caused considerable heartbreak. The interesting thing about this, we talked about this on the Patreon one, but it must be noted, is that Chad Kroeger, between the first album that came out in the state and this album, decided to, or maybe it's that, because apparently he already had this song written. It was written before the previous album was done. But what's in his song facts is that he started listening and studying the top charting songs of the day.
Wow.
And he broke them down and tried to figure out what was making songs successful.
Wow.
And it fucking worked. It worked.
That's pretty cool.
He made a song about relationships. He made it ambiguous, and he gave it, you know, a very fun, loud, angry.
That's really,
you know, hook.
I think that's like what Will Smith did when he was starting out with movies. He's like, all right, it's got to have like creatures, special effect. Like, he figured out all the elements of like a popular movie. So then he did like Men in Black and stuff based on like what he learned.
Mm-hmm. When he wrote those movies, I remember thinking, did he have anything to do with
it? No, but I guess it was more like which ones he chose. I don't think he liked this.
That song is really something. Sum 41 was known to cover this song from time to time with slight changes to the lyrics. They played it on MTV's New Year's Countdown in 2002. That sounds sick. Let's see here. I wanted to see if there's any fun comments. Nickelback, Pookie from Indiana says,
"Is this your old buddy?"
Pookie from Indiana says, "Nickelback does not suck. Seriously, this band helped me through a lot of crazy shit."
Friend Tom betraying me.
Yeah, that's oh wow. Rise from Newport, Wales says, "Write people who want to comment bad things about this song. You're sad people. Do you have a life? It's an amazing song, and Nickelback are one of the best bands out." Man, they got some international love cooking. All right. Before we go too far into this episode, we do have a voicemail from our friend and foe of the podcast, Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, where they just had a very successful Limestone Comedy Festival by all accounts. So if you went there, I hope you had a great time. All right, let's hear what Jared has to say about the band Nickelback.
What's up, y'all? This week's They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Nickelback. I feel like that this is the Lord's work. I don't really know exactly how anyone would pull this off, honestly. trying to think about sort of the history of this podcast and like a band like this, where it's like, I really don't know how you would do this. Like, they don't really have any sort of, there's no life jacket here. Like, I feel like that if you're defending Sugar Ray or, something that's just like stupid, you kind of cling on to maybe that it's fun, but this is just, I don't see any way out of this. Is the person just going to say that they like the music? This is another thing where you just have to just question this person altogether. Like, how is this what you like? I don't know. This would only make sense if there was like five bands out there and you just had to pick one and you still got it wrong. Even then, like, there's the other four bands are better. So, good luck. And I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Jared. Wow. That left Jared nearly speechless.
Yeah, you're on trial here, Jacob. Wow.
So, yeah, what do you have to say to that, Jacob?
I would say, Jared shares a lot of people's views on Nickelback in that it's like, I think there's this general view that Nickelback sucks or whatever. And I totally get that. Like, I hadn't really thought about them either way in a long time. But then I guess just the experience of, like, singing these songs with other people and, like, having that nostalgia, but also, like, how you remind me, it's like, feel like it's like has all this cool stuff about it. It's like conflicted feelings about a relationship in it or whatever, but like so it's like, I don't know, I feel like really doing a deep dive, I was listening to a lullaby and I like started tearing up. I was like, wow, this is like kind of moving. And I'm like, it's not like something I would have normally listened to, but when I really explored it, I'm like, I feel like this guy, his lyrics are like very emotionally vulnerable, which I like, mm-hmm. in a way that you don't always hear in like rock songs. And I wrote down some examples from some of the songs, but I feel like
should we listen to some Lullaby?
Sure. Yeah.
See what it evokes in the listener. Let's get a tear out of Tommy. All right, here's some of Lullaby. Finding yourself stuck out on the ledge, and there ain't no healing from cutting yourself with the jagged edge. I'm telling you that it's never that bad. Take it from someone who's been where you're at. You laid out on the floor, and you're not sure you can take this anymore. So just give it one. Lullaby, turn this up on the radio. Damn, Pepe is going bozo mode.
Yeah, the guy loves this song.
He was going nuts to that. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that song?
I was listening to it. I mean, it seems like it's about someone reaching out to someone who's like having a tough time. Maybe they're suicidal or depressed. And I feel like it shows a lot of empathy. It's kind of sad, but uplifting in terms of like he's like cares about this person. He doesn't know how to cheer them up or reach them. And I think a lot of us have had those experiences, like being depressed or feeling down and like wanting to connect with people. So I guess I appreciate that kind of vibe, which I don't always hear in like, you know, like a grunge rock song or this type of genre, I guess.
Yeah. That song I had never heard before. I think that's the only song on the playlist I had never heard before.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's very emotional. Apparently, the song is based on an experience in Chad and Mike Kroger's childhood when they found their babysitter crying her eyes out as her boyfriend had died in a motorcycle accident.
Wow. I didn't know.
However, in the comments, Lace from Columbia writes, "I wrote y'all a while back with pictures. I hope you read it."
Pictures of the motorcycle accident?
Yeah. I don't think that Nickelback reads
the song.
Is that
the photograph
back.
They're talking about?
Photograph. Dude, this photograph. Wait, it makes every him time laugh? I do it, makes me laugh.
What's on his head? It's a brain injury. Yeah, I think in the musical update, this is like a part where, yeah, it's like a character is in trouble or whatever. So I was like, oh, that added some emotional weight to the song for me in the context of the show. But yeah,
it is. The production of that song is so noticeably early 2000s. It sounds like the U2 songs of that era. Like, yeah, everything did kind of sound like that for a few years.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the tone of Third Eye Blind's Jumper, but obviously very different songs.
Sure.
Totally different, but that one's a little catchier, I guess. But
yeah.
A fun slow song, at least.
I would agree that one is a little more catchy.
but yeah, sometimes you just need a soft a little bit.
Sure. Well, we mentioned Photograph. I say we give it a pop. This is where I grew up. I picked the prison owner, fixed it up. I never knew we ever went without. The second floor is hard for sneaking up. And this is where I went to school. Most of the time I'd better things to do. Criminal record says I'm broken twice. I must have done it half a dozen times. I wonder if it's too late. Should I go back and try to graduate? Last better now than it was back then. If I was them, I wouldn't let me in. Oh, God, I am. Every memory of looking out the back door. I have a photo of us spread out on my bedroom floor. It's time to say it, time to say it. Goodbye. Every memory of walking out the front door. I found the photo of the present I was looking for. It's time to say it, time to say it. Goodbye. There it is.
Yeah.
Look at this photograph.
A song that Donald Trump tweeted out.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, I did not know that.
This music video is made into many memes many times over the years,
okay,
with different images inserted in the frame Kroger holds up to the camera at the beginning. On October 2nd, 2019, United States President Donald Trump got in on the action, tweeting an altered clip of the video with Kroger holding a photo of his political rival, Joe Biden, Biden's son Hunter, and a man identified as a Ukraine gas exec, implying that Hunter Biden used his father to curry favor in business dealings with the Ukraine.
Wow.
Hours later, Warner Music filed a copyright claim and the video was disabled.
Damn.
So by defending Nickelback, you are of course saying let's go Brandon and and not my president. And so
<That's hilarious.
laughs> explain how January 6th was actually cool.
Wow, I did not know that. But Yeah, I guess College Humor did a parody of this too. I haven't watched that, but I guess, yeah, apparently it's been parodied a lot. I did. That's really funny to find that the whole Trump thing. Did not know that. I liked the line when he's like, Kim was the first girl I kissed. I was so nervous. I nearly missed. I feel like that's.
Yeah. Like that's crazy.
Funny. As if it's like a T-ball setup.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does seem difficult to miss.
Very slapstick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know personally because I've never had my first kiss.
Right.
I assume.
Dude, it's I hope you don't miss, dude. You only got one shot. Do not miss your chance to kiss. There's a comment on the song fix that said, I've met the real Kim. She is a class act. Very sweet and personable lady. The bassist should have held on to her. She is one of the prettiest and sweetest women I have ever met. Hi, wow. Kim, from Michael in Cannonsburg, December 2011.
Okay.
Nice. I hope she sees that.
I think I read that he like based this on a real photograph where he was like, what's on Joey's head or whatever. So I guess
right.
A real
and thing. Clearly they're very high in it.
Right.
How did our eyes get so red? I'm going to guess you took a couple puffs off that sweet ganja.
Yeah,
I'm gonna guess you bought an eighth of
some internal bleeding.
Sweet green. That could be it. You might have jaundice or something. I guess that's yellow. Yeah, how did eyes get so yellow? yeah, this Nigel. The video is directed by Nigel Dick. That's a funny name.
Nigel Dick.
So Tom, when he does his riffs, he kind of analyzes what makes riffs successful.
Yes.
He'll
yeah,
study
exactly.
them.
Yes.
The most popular riffs. A lot of them include funny names.
That's right.
Sexually
that's right.
explicit
I listened
material.
To Call Her Daddy or whatever, and decided. What sort of shit was really cracking people up? And a name like Nigel Dick is just ripe for humor. Because it's like a man's penis.
Yeah,
anyways,
that riff was definitely the how you remind me of yeah. for sure.
All right, yeah, that song fucking sucks.
Yeah, I don't know if I, yeah,
that
I'm
is,
not gonna say I'm like a huge fan.
That was
of that
the first song, like Tommy was mentioning earlier. That was probably the first song where I was like, maybe Nickelback doesn't rule anymore.
Yeah, I think in the show, this is like a flashback too, where they're like, it recaps all this stuff that happened in the musical. So they're looking at and they're like, oh, that just happened earlier. We saw that. Anyway.
Yeah.
So it makes it make more sense than it does on its own.
You know how, like, we were just talking about how Chad Kroeger does the thing where he, like, studies music. This one felt too obvious, where it's like, oh, you're just aiming for this nostalgic thing, but you're not achieving it to me.
Sure.
And I was just thinking, me and Tommy talked about this on the Patreon, but, like, any like country songs do this a lot, but any song, I'm a sucker for this type of thing normally, but they just don't pull it off. Where any song that starts with like it's three parts and one is them young, one is them like middle aged, and one is them dying, I'm bawling at the end. You got me. All right. But this is just like reminiscing on That's bullshit. I don't know. It just feels too on the nose. And Nigel Dick did direct Baby One More Time. That's what I meant to say earlier. And he directed this video. Not as iconic, I don't think. Although, then again, I didn't see Trump tweeting out anything about Baby One More Time. All right. Let's move on here. I do want to say I found some – we found some fun facts about this band. Tommy, I sent you one that this feels fake almost, but it's on BBC News, if you believe that rag. This is from November 2016. It says, Canada police drivers punish drunk drivers with Nickelback.
Oh, wow.
That seems like an easy punishment. Doesn't seem like he's getting the job done. But the story is, Canadian police force is threatening festive drunk drivers with a cruel and unusual punishment, forcing them to listen to local band Nickelback. Kensington Police Service, which looks after the residents of Prince Edward Island, will be handing out fines and criminal charges as well, but it seems it is the possibility of having to listen to Nickelback, which has really upset the locals. Doesn't torture go against the Geneva Convention? Asked one on Facebook. This seems insane.
Wow.
I don't understand. So the holidays, this is a post from the Kensington Police Service on Facebook. So the holiday season is upon us, and that means more social events, staff parties, and alcohol-based libations. Now, because of that fact, it logically means more people need to plan their night's driving duties.
to save any problems at the end of the night, know ahead of time who is the designated driver. Write down the number to a cab company or plan otherwise. We figure if you are foolish enough to get behind the wheel after drinking, then a little Chad Kroger and the boys is the perfect gift for you. So please let's not ruin a perfectly good unopened copy of Nickelback. You don't drink and drive, and we won't make you listen to it. What a weird joke to make.
Yeah.
About drunk driving.
Well,
anyway, BBC, you want some other shit. Mm. Canada, you're drunk. Go on.
Was that slow news
thing? Yeah, that was a fun little
interesting.
Fun little story I found about them. Another fun fact, do you know why they are called Nickelback?
Actually, I don't know if I know that.
Tommy, do you remember this?
I forgot.
I think we did talk about it on the main on the Patreon, but supposedly it's because
you remind me.
let me just double check that this is right. I'm typing with one hand. I just wrote why they called Nickelback. but it's supposedly because when Chad Kroger worked at Starbucks,
yeah.
He would have to give people a nickel back on their coffee.
So the coffee was like $1.95 or $3.95.
Right. Hey, in Biden's America, it's more like $5.95.
Enough with the mocha chocolate. I want a black coffee.
The band was formed in the early 90s as a cover band called, anybody know?
No.
Village Idiot, and they played I think they did Metallica cover songs. Wow. Yeah, and Led Zeppelin. They were a cover band.
Okay.
It was not Chad Kroger, it was Mike Kroger. So it was started by brothers Mike and Chad Kroger with their cousin Brandon and Ryan Peake. The band later changed its name to Nickelback, which originated from the nickel and change that band member Mike Kroger gave customers at his job at Starbucks. He would he would frequently say, "Here's your Nickelback." Not a very good story. That's a Nickelback ass story.
It's like it wasn't Three Doors Down, like their first show, like their green room was like Three Doors Down or something. So they just go with like whatever the obvious, whatever just happened to them. I guess.
That's interesting.
Vampire Weekend, they just had a crazy weekend.
Yeah, they all turned into bats.
I remember Saturday, Sunday. So we were talking for my bachelor party. We're talking about going on haunted tours.
Yeah,
and I went. Great. Last time I was in New Orleans, I went on a ghost and vampire tour, it was so bad, and it, like everybody was kind of pissed. I thought it was hilarious because the guy was just making up vampire stories.
Oh, that's
and he had this thick, I think, fake accent, but he was like at one point. At one point, he said "vampire community." Community really made me laugh. I don't know why. Maybe it was
that's what the Vampire Weekend fans are called. Was there a guy like the Tim Robinson character that was just
I wish. Saying,
I love fake haunted houses mostly I've gone to. I love a fake haunted house. Like when people jump out of you. It's so fun.
I don't know. We're going to find something to do. All right. Let's hear some more music here. Yeah. You mentioned it earlier. Let's hear Leader of Men.
Oh, hell yeah.
So this is from their first album, The State.
I actually kind of like this song.
Yeah, actually, generally, I think this might be my favorite or one of my favorites of theirs. Yeah.
This one sounds like a normal song.
Which I feel like it's a solid song. I think if people just heard this and nothing else, they wouldn't make fun of Nickelback. They'd be like, oh yeah, that's catchy.
Yeah, this was the first single they had released on a major label. They had received some exposure from earlier independent releases, but this was their first big breakthrough single.
Yeah,
I just remembered a story where they got money to make a demo or something, and they only used like a small portion of it to do that, and they used the rest to buy mushrooms to sell.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it was Roadrunner Records, by the way, that I was thinking of earlier. Okay. that re-released its once independent second studio twist album, The State.
Yeah.
That's the one that people were pissed at them for joining.
Oh, I gotcha.
Because they didn't think they were cool enough to be a part of that.
I like that the song is called Leader of Men, but then he's like, I'm not a leader of men. So there's a twist right away.
Yeah.
And then and I related to that because I'm like, yeah, I'm very beta. And and the character I was cast at is like singing that line. So I'm like, I guess I'm getting typecast as a non-leader here. That's fair. But
yeah, that one is, I just like the sound of it. It's got a cool
they have an acoustic and non-acoustic
I looked up as we often do on this show Nickelback controversy. Do you know of their controversies?
No, what's the controversy?
So I mean, obviously there's the stuff with them being hated. That stuff's obvious, but they have a thing with the band Slipknot. They said that Slipknot was a novelty band. They've gone back and forth. Let me just look.
I wonder if Slipknot, they were working at like a boat place, and every day someone would be like, "How do you tie this?" He's like, "Slipknot."
Like, right, light bulb went over his head.
I'm looking this up now. So the story behind the feud between Corey Taylor and Chad Kroeger.
Slipknot is what people used to hang themselves when they listen to Slipknot.
No. Damn, let's go.
I'm sorry. I don't got
nothing. Brian Posehn, eat your heart out.
Slipknot frontman Corey Taylor and Nickelback lead vocalists both have millions of fans who have been rooting for both legendary musicians for decades. However, the two singers couldn't be more distant from each other, as they have an endless dispute with each other that started with sharing the same label. While staying silent for years after their first interview that ignited the dispute, both Corey Taylor and Chad Kroeger didn't hold themselves back, and their fans saw their favorite musicians having verbally fight against each other through interviews during which both sides looked down on the music and personality of the other. Let's travel back to the past and see the timeline of the notorious dispute.
Wow.
It all started in 2002 when both Slipknot and Stone Sour shared the same record label as Nickelback, which was Roadrunner Records, and Corey Taylor revealed that he was upset that the public relations team at the label was giving Nickelback more help than his own band during an interview back then, and expressed his anger. He said, "I'm glad they could use our money to make Nickelback happy. That's a very bitter subject for me, and if I see any of those fuckers, it's going to be brutal." After staying silent for years, the feud was ignited once again when Chad Kroeger stated during an interview back in 2017 that there isn't another band like Nickelback who has diversity in their music. When asked if Taylor's Stone Sour project were as diverse as Nickelback, Kroeger stated that they were okay since they sounded like Nickelback in the first place. Damn. Article is fucking horrifically written.
I can also just say, when I think Nickelback, the first word that comes to mind, diversity. These Canadian white guys. Yep.
Yes.
Most diverse band I've ever seen.
I say affirmative action is working.
Look, one of them's blonde. The other one's got brown hair. It's a diverse band.
And only two of their last names are Kroeger.
Hell, variety pack.
Speaking in an interview with Metal Covenant, Kroeger said, "I can't think of another band that's as diverse as we are. And I don't think that's me talking from pride or ego. Yeah, because they're trying to be like Nickelback. They're okay, but they're not as good as Nickelback. They sound like Nickelback light." So he keeps wow. running with this line about diversity.
It was just called Nickelback.
Let's see. After hearing these allegations, Corey Taylor has responded during an interview with 98 KUPD and said the accusations were funny and Chad Kroeger is delusional. On top of making fun of Nickelback frontman, Taylor said that he was voted sexiest dude in rock while wearing a mask on stage all the time, whereas Kroeger was voted ugliest dude in rock twice.
Who does I didn't these know votes?
That. Yeah. That's really yeah, funny. Funny.
Did we yeah. participate in that?
Yeah. I mean, get out there and vote.
Stay in line.
In his own words, Corey Taylor said, "You can run your mouth all you want. All is they just repeat the same thing. Dude, curl up in a bed with your Hello Kitty pillow and shut up. God damn." Wow. He got absolutely owned.
If you're going to wear like a crazy clown mask and play scary music, yeah. you can't just do like a war of words.
No, yeah, no, that like, sucks.
It's like, this is how you remind me that you suck. No.
That is brutal. He compared Nickelback to the fast food chain KFC. He said, "Chad Kroeger is what KFC is to chicken." Is that wrong? I feel like I'm not wrong. I'll still eat it, but I'm not going to feel good about it. You're going to eat Chad Kroeger? Weird.
KFC, more like yeah. Kroeger fucking...
Chad?
I don't, come on. I didn't think of it until I didn't quite get there. I'm sorry.
More like Kroeger fingers chicks.
That's the ugliest guy in rock. I don't think so, honey.
It was burned.
The thing is, that was based on some... when I also, along with this stuff, when I looked up Kroeger, when I looked up controversy between with Nickelback, it was a guy coming after that they had very sexist lyrics at times about.
That Nickelback has sexist lyrics.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is, the next contestant was a little weird. It was like a song where he's just talking about beating up guys that are hitting on his girlfriend or
Which song is that?
I think it's called Next Contestant. That was a little wild, but yeah.
That'd be really funny. It's just guys lining up to hit on his girlfriend. He's like, "All right, I gotta kick your fucking ass now." But the guys keep getting in line. "All right, now I'm gonna take my shot." These are the lyrics that piss people off. It's Mike Kroeger singing. He likes the way you still say please while you're looking up at me.
Yeah,
and the song figured you out. And the song Something in Your Mouth, you can guess.
It's not a kind word.
We'll skip that one. There was a big when Neil Young left Spotify, there was a million tweets that were Nickelback threatens to release new album unless Spotify removes Joe Rogan.
That's good.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the first time, but then 5,000 of them. Okay, I think we've covered this.
Yeah, it's crazy. They were both at Roadrunner Records and had a few. Because I think there was a feud also between Roadrunner Records and Coyote Records where they were trying to like blow up the record company with
TNT.
Anvils and TNT.
Yeah. Acme brand.
I saw that on the BBC actually.
All right.
Bugs Bunny cartoons. BBC.
Yes.
Oh, that's what you're way better at these acronyms than me.
It's kind of what we do on this show. That's our bread and butter.
That's why they call you the
what you don't realize is any the series of letters me and Tommy spend hours writing out.
Oh, that's good.
Possible.
I love an acronym.
All right. Let's hear some more music. How many have we heard already? Let's listen to like two more and then get to the
I think I only wrote down two more. Yeah. Okay. I did three. Damn. All right. That's right.
Well, we'll skip one of them. We got to hear Rockstar, though.
Sure.
We'll hear all of them. Let's just hear a tiny bit of Rockstar because we went into Rockstar a lot on the
Patreon. Yeah, these are all good for like quick short versions.
Stop! Here's the thing, and I'm going to catch a lot of shit for this. And I've already had people disagree with me on this a lot. I like that song. Yeah, I don't know why.
I think it's funny.
I think there's arguments over whether it's sincere or tongue-in-cheek. I think it's clearly tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, yeah.
When he says the, I'll have a quesadilla.
Yeah, I was just thinking
dumb as hell. Yeah. But it's like, I think it sounds cool. If that came on, I'd still pop off to it. I enjoy it.
And, yeah, the fact that I think he says like, he'll get washed up people that write his lyrics or whatever. Like, it's clearly tongue-in-cheek. But yeah, like right before that, when the quesadilla line, when he's like, he'll sign autographs so he gets meals for free. Like, he's like clearly super wealthy in this, but he's still trying to like save like $20.
Yeah, it's incredible. I like, and I also like the idea of having a bathroom you can play baseball in.
Yeah, I was trying to picture that. I'm like, that seems like a misuse of real estate, even if you have the resources.
I mean, you might as well. It's more of like a baseball field with a bathroom.
I'd rather.
That is weird if it's just like you have a toilet in the middle of a baseball field. And
sinks all the way on the other side. It takes you like 20 minutes to walk to it.
Yeah, I would just get like a slightly smaller bathroom, use that for like a ballroom or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, it seems like he misused it, but then his bedroom is super tiny because it's what the bathroom was actually supposed to be.
And then he says the hot tub seats like 10. I'm like, if your bathroom's baseball size, maybe make the hot tub like 100 people or something.
Yeah.
And I like that guy commented. I was trying to figure out the dynamic between that guy that just says those things after. I was like, it sounds like Conchu and Moon Knight, where it's like he has like this demon god possessing him or something. I'm like, who is this guy you're talking?
Anyway. Yeah, he's like the white trash version of Lil Wayne, I think. Or not Lil Wayne. Who's the guy who does the like Lil John. Good stuff. I enjoy that song. This song was voted the worst song of the year.
Wow.
I don't know who's voting on that either, but
Slipknot definitely voted.
No, I enjoy that song. I know. Yeah, I'm sure in the comments we'll see a lot of people shitting on it, but
I whatever. Like all the specifics in there.
It's yes. Fun. All right, let's hear If Today Was Your Last Day.
So, yeah, I kind of liked the message of that one because I feel like in Stoicism or some philosophies, there's that thing of like imagining whatever you're doing it for the last time, so you appreciate it more and you're more in the moment. So I've been trying to read stuff like that about just being in the moment. So I liked that. That was my takeaway. There's definitely some corny lyrics in there too, but yeah.
Yeah. What did you think about that one, Tommy?
Oh, you know.
Musically, it's not my favorite.
Oh, my God. Mark Bosman from Cape Town writes, I fuck up a lot growing up, but this song, whenever I go through hell at times, I get in my V6 4.0 liter and blast my speakers over and over, and I don't stop until the song that stops me from killing myself makes me smile from ear to ear. And Nickelback, I owe you my life.
Wow. It would be funny if this song was more about like the Homer Simpson thing where he's like, what if pretend like it's your last day to live? And he's like, oh no. He's just like freaking out. It's just a song of screaming and terror.
All right. We got one more song here, and I saved the best for last. This last song is called This Afternoon. And this is just about getting high as hell.
Hanging out with your friends.
Hanging
Do it all again.
Man.
Oh, man.
I like that one because like the ad lib party at the beginning where you hear the, it's like that Afro Man song where you hear people talking. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know. That one was fun to sing with other people when we did the read through. Like, I don't think I had heard of that song necessarily before.
Yeah.
But it's like fun to, if you're all singing it, it's about, I don't know. He has a line in there where he says, it's not the human walk, it's the human race. And I'm like, that's, I never thought about it that way. It's very profound.
That's a good ass point. Oh, that is going to change. That's going to make me live a little differently.
Makes me look at everything differently. Yeah.
I know that like his the scream is like his signature thing, but for a song about chilling out, Dobin,
sounds like he's going to the doctor right after.
It's so fun. I mean, the chorus sounds like a country song.
Yes.
But it's so true. We get
it's
up,
very
we
weird.
Fall down.
Yeah.
Well, he's trying to
take a bizarre artifact of the song.
He's trying to do Friends in Low Places, but a rock.
Oh,
version.
So he's like trying to reach that audience.
He says, by his own life, he explained, it's a good rock and roll version of Garth Brooks' Friend in Low Places. No, it's not. Anyone who's ever had roommates or more than a couple will relate to this song. I used to have four roommates. We all lived in this house. It was a bunch of drunken kids barely getting by trying to find money for beer. Food was low on the priority list, so it's a song about trying to get by and having the best of times ever.
Wow.
It's just,
I can't relate to that because I don't have any friends, but
this is the problem. This is like, again, where it comes, like, it's like Photograph to me, where it's like, I see what they're trying to do. This is the type of song I would normally like. Like, I love Friends in Low Places. That song fucking rules.
This ain't it.
This is a song, Chad. If I heard it in isolation, I'd probably be like, oh, this sucks. But I think my first impression was singing it as a group, as part of a show. I was like, oh, this is like so fun to sing along to. So it might be like a bias of hanging out in a fun group when you hear it.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of shitty songs that you hear in that setting and you're into it because it's just, you're in a fun setting.
Yes.
But yeah.
All right, let's get to the listeners of this show. They sent in thoughts, and I have a feeling these are going to be juicy. All right, first off, we go to the Patreon. I think we got a lot of Patreon comments, so we might not be able to get to a lot of Facebook ones. But if you want your comments guaranteed to be read, get on the damn Patreon. It's only $3 a damn month, and you get bonus episodes and ad-free eps. It's a good time we're having over there. All right, first off, and welcome to our new patron, Kuna Yannick, who I just saw that name pop up there.
Thank you.
Toby Braithwaite says, finally, someone with the guts to defend Chatty K and his merry minstrels. Very curious to see if there's any song pick crossover with the Patreon app, given I couldn't bring myself to listen beyond Silver Sign Up, with the exception of Rockstar, which was and is a total banger. Thank you, Toby.
We did do Rockstar again.
Yeah, we did Rockstar again. I'm sure, I'm almost certain Toby had How You Remind Me on there.
We definitely talked about it. Yeah. At the least. Yeah.
Well, Toby, you'll know if there's any crossover more
than
that.
Yeah, I'm curious with the other songs.
Paige writes, Chad Kroeger and Avril Lavigne were only married for 2 years, from 2013 to 2015. Am I the only one who thought they were married for much longer than that?
I agree.
I thought that too. I had to double check that they weren't still together, even though we did talk about that on the last one. The question is, which Avril? Will Gates says, you're talking about Nickelback, and this is How You Remind Me? Nice. Well done, Will. Oh, here we go. I was about to say, when was one of these coming? Dave says they have a song called Something in Your Mouth off their album Dark Horse. The floor is yours, Tommy. Jason Jeanson said, I saw them in concert, and during Rockstar, they picked two people from the crowd to come on stage and sing with them, a man and a woman. They explicitly said, only come up if you know the words to the song. So, of course, right as they started, the woman says, oh, I don't know the words. The crowd immediately turned against her and started booing. The only thing that saved her is the man that pulled up did know the words and killed it. Damn.
Wow.
What a stupid lady.
That settles the battle of the sexes.
That's when they started writing those misogynistic lyrics.
Okay. Max Rappaport says, I heard Tommy's favorite Nickelback was Kenny Moore II. Is that a horse?
Is it Nickelback
must be
a type of horse?
It must be a type of horse. I got to look this up because I'm sure
Max is very funny, know. And I'm sure that that's a good. All right, because I
don't know what that
it's a football cornerback. Mm. Wait, why is that?
Oh, okay, Kenny Moore. Okay, yeah.
But wait, why would that? Oh, because Nickelback.
Yeah,
is
Nickelback
a football
and football.
Position.
I was just prepared for a horse riff, so it could be.
It's because he played for the Colts. Mm. So it is a horse. Okay. That took. Sorry, I should have known that. I knew. I recognized that name, and I was like, but I was just looking for a horse. So wow, that was a deep pull there, Max. But I'm glad we got to the bottom of it. I feel like an idiot. I love Kenny Moore. He was a star of Hard Knocks season. All right, Brandon Thompson says, I feel kind of bad for them. They all have to know that they are unquestionably the premier band when it comes to being the butt of the joke. Kind of like the, you know how I know you're, you know how I know you're gay because you like Coldplay. Bit from 40-Year-Old Virgin. How do you shake that? Seems like once it's popular to hate you, there's no turning back. Totally agree, Brandon. I think we probably mentioned that on the Patreon one too, because that is the other classic example. My dear friend Joshua Murphy, who I just got to see in Bloomington, said, when I was a kid, I was really into their song from the first Spider-Man movie. For some reason, it's still one of the three songs I kind of just sing quietly to myself if I'm waiting in line at the store or else just bored. For some reason, the other two songs I rotate in my head are Tears in Heaven by Eric Clapton and Money for Nothing by Dire Straits. Good to know, Josh.
We will forward that to a therapist directly.
That's I totally get that though. And they say that a hero could save me. Do we have anything on the Twitter?
Yes, we got a bunch.
Yeah, we have.
Okay, on the Twitter we have got Mike Carrazza, who wrote the amazing theme song for the show.
Yes.
Said, How You Remind Me is a legit banger, and they're fine, but they got annoying, so they became a punchline that overstayed its welcome so hard that people actually started defending them again. LOL.
Damn. Canada's own.
Jason said, They're like pioneers of bland vanilla radio rock. One of my old coworkers told me he met them at his hotel job, and they were a-holes. Damn.
Oh damn.
Shit.
That's too bad.
Kristen Karn said, I don't get the hate, but then again, I love Creed.
Yep, there we go.
Graham K, famous Canadian, said, They eat shit. He also told me to eat shit today. Must be his thing he likes to say.
Wait, who said that?
Graham K.
Another Canadian.
Everyone's got to eat shit these days.
Is that what the song, Something in Your Mouth?
In Biden's America, he can't afford food.
Zach Holder said, I saw the Japanese band Mono in a little ballroom across the street from an arena that Nickelback was playing. The shows let out at the same time, and it was like two very different armies marching into battle. That's a fun image. Nick Porcaro said, not a fan at all, but their album Dark Horse inspired one of my favorite albums, Addicted by Devin Townsend Project, so I can't fully hate. Wow. Pete David said, I was playing Verses by Pearl Jam in the car, and a friend of mine said, oh, I guess this is what became Nickelback, and that annoyed me. Pokenomics said, generally speaking, most people like to treat Nickelback like they treat Blue Box Mac and Cheese. You know it's not great, but you enjoyed it when you were young. They're bigger and better out there, but it's okay to revisit now and then. H. Lee said, it's just popular to dislike them. No one has ever given me a legitimate reason why they are not good. And then last one, Mark Urban said that the Axe body spray of bands, everyone says they don't use it, it smells bad, and you would never buy it, but you go into every, but you fucking smell it in every locker room you go to.
Damn. Well put, good comments. I'll just read a couple from the Facebook. Alex Schubert writes, writing way less of an essay this time. They have legitimately good songs. They even have legitimately great songs. They're fun, have a good sense of humor about themselves. And Chad has a good voice for rock, even though he's a colossal douche. But how on earth did Rockstar, the biggest ear sore from the 2000s, end up as the one people want to sing at karaoke nights the most? That song makes me want to cut my hair and change my name. Well done, Alex. Justin Case McCall says, I remember owning All the Right Reasons, which had some of their hits when I was 14. Half the songs are about fucking. It comes off as cringy for a 40-year-old to sing about picking up his girlfriend from her mom's house to get head in his back seat. Tommy would beg to differ. Oh, JK, it's horse stuff now.
All right, that's all the comments.
I do like that as our slogan. Stand by your band. It's horse stuff now.
Yeah, it's like our like apology that Domino's made. If you stopped listening because of all the pedophile stuff, don't worry. We've made it horse stuff now.
Oh my God.
We gotta get new t-shirts. By the way, get the t-shirts we already have. I think it's funapparel.com. Search my name, Tom Takkar, and you'll see the shirts. All right, that brings us to our last couple bits on this show. We have to have you, before we rate the playlist, you get to give us your final thoughts on Nickelback, Jacob.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my final thoughts. I feel like, I guess some of it doesn't hold up, but I think that is also because I feel like they are very prolific. They wrote a lot of songs, so it's, of course, it's not all going to be gold. But yeah, I feel like there's some catchy stuff. I like listening to Lullaby or Leader of Men, and I'm excited to sing them as part of a musical. And I kind of, I think I relate to their whole thing of being like, they used to be popular and they're hated. I wasn't popular, so that doesn't make sense. But in terms of, I do sometimes feel like a Nickelback of comedians in terms of being like, I'm like, yeah, I have some like corny stuff. I'm just trying to do my best. And I'm sure lots of people would make fun of my act, but I'm just going to keep trying to come up with jokes. I don't know. But anyway, so yeah, I kind of enjoy some of their stuff, and I get why some people don't like it, but I think they would enjoy the musical that I'm doing a part in, so I hope they check that out.
Yeah. Get over there. Yeah. What was the name of the venue again?
It's Young Ethel's, June 4th, 8 p.m. It's called Dime Forward, a Nickelback musical.
Yes. All right. Get over there.
Yeah, Leah Evans wrote, so I'm just doing a role.
All right. Sounds good.
Time for us to rate the playlist. That sounds like a fun-ass show. I definitely want to see it. Time to rate the playlist. I'd say we still rate it out of 6, even though we have 7 songs.
Oh, my bad.
Pick a song. That's okay. We'll pick us. We get to each pick our own way of doing that. I'm just going to cut Photograph off of there and pretend I didn't hear it again. but I am going to go with a solid... this is hard because... I'm gonna go with
you're gonna
solid...
be the good guy, don't worry. You're good cop.
I am gonna go with a solid 2.75 out of 6.
Yep.
Because I mean, How You Remind Me gets a full point on its own, maybe even more. I enjoy Rockstar, and I kind of enjoy I enjoyed Leader of Men more than I thought I would. But the rest of it's just not for me. If it's just a little too corny, I think, for me. Sure. I don't mind what he did. I don't mind his style of going like, I want to chase whatever it is. If it works, it works. And How You Remind Me, I think it works. They're having fun in Rockstar. I think they're having a good time. When songs like This Afternoon and If Today Was Your Last Day, just they feel like trying hard too hard a little bit, and so I gotta knock them, but this still, that's not the lowest score we've given on the show, and according to societal standards they would get the lowest score. Yeah. So that's better than one would think they would get.
Oh, cool.
Tommy, what do you got?
Jacob, this is not an indictment of you or
your
taste.
Of course,
they have musical, which I'm sure will be very fun. But when I was listening to them today, I was in the laundromat, one of the 8 ways to listen to music. and I was just thinking, here's my take. Nickelback should have been a band that had How You Remind Me and was a one-hit wonder. And everyone's like, oh, whatever happened to that band? That song was great. Like a 9 Days with Story of a Girl.
Yes.
It should be a band that you remember. Like, oh, I love that song. Yeah, like, that's so crazy. What happened to those? We should not know anything else about them.
Yeah.
I think they made one great rock song and 1,000 really bad rock songs. And I think that song fucking rules. And every other song is just like very grating to me. And I instantly want to change it when it starts.
You know what's funny that you say that is at the end of this play, because I made it into a Spotify playlist. And as soon as that was done, it started playing One Hit Wonder. That I was like, what the fuck? I forgot about this song.
Yeah.
And Nickelback could have comfortably fit with that.
Yeah, or something. Yeah. Or something like Fuel or something, where maybe they had a couple, but it's just like the fact that they are still such a big cultural thing is just very not in correlation with what they are to me.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
But you know, we aren't the only voices in this on this podcast. Jacob, you get to give your rating of the playlist.
You were about to pass the mic to the cat.
Yeah, Pepe also has some thoughts.
Yeah, I think
one, three.
Yeah, I feel like there's some fun. Yeah, like you said, maybe people would like them more or rally behind them if they were like a one-hit wonder, and then they like discover these and these weren't as well known. Like they might have gotten overexposed. It might be like the if you don't die the hero, you live to be the villain, yeah, or something. But yeah, I feel like I do like a lot of the stuff. Like yeah, I feel like Leader of Men is catchy. I think because I sang it with other people this afternoon, I got kind of into Lullaby. It made me cry. So
yeah, you gotta
I'm
give that,
on board, yeah, with that. How You Remind Me is fun. Rockstar has got some funny stuff. So I guess if today was your last day, I like the message, but it's like a little silly. And Photograph, those two are a little weaker for me. So I guess because of that ratio, I might give it like a 4.5 to 5 out of 6.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good score. Fair score.
What was the ones that got like the really low score out of curiosity? Because you said.
Oh, well, I don't like.
Well, I think ironically, Slipknot. We both gave really low.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really like
There's
Slipknot
music we both are too scared by.
Yeah, too scary.
Okay. Cool.
I think I gave 311 like a 0 or okay, 1 or so. I hated 311.
Also, Slipknot, too sexy.
All right, I'm just glad my band didn't come in last.
Yeah,
not that I'm like fully.
I also Tommy famously gave Aqua a 6 out of 6. I gave it pretty low.
Which I, and by the way, we should have talked about this. Did you hear that in the Barbie fucking movie?
Yeah.
Starring Margot Robbie.
Yes.
My friend.
Is that that's a new movie?
New movie, yeah, coming out, I think, oh, this wow, year or next year. That. They're not, they've announced that they will not be playing the song
Very
Barbie
bizarre.
Girl by Aqua.
Yeah, that's a weird move.
We should have opened the show with that news.
At least
I
put
forgot
it on the
about
credits
that
or something.
Crazy.
That news rocked me.
Yeah. Or like insane. They should have here's what they should have done. They should have had like a cool modern cover, yeah, of that song.
Like a it sad choir singing it in the trailer.
The trailer, yeah, children.
Or at least like do a new version of it.
And then the flash of Barbie. In a Barbie.
And then she's in the Joker makeup. Like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, yeah, it's like in Shame when she sings like the sad version of New York, New York. Just do a very somber Barbie.
This is, we Let's fixed your movie, buddy.
Well, here's what I think, though, because it's such a stupid thing, and they made a point of publicizing it, yeah, so I think they are going to play it in the movie as a way to
like
a bait and switch.
As a
way to be like,
in the Spider-Man movie.
Yes.
So everyone will freak out when they show. Yeah.
As a way to be like, don't trust the mainstream media. Like
so me and all the psychology. Little girls in the crowd will cheer.
yeah, that movie sounds awesome.
All right, let's plug this show one more time. Young
yes.
Ethels, June 4th.
Yes.
Go see, what did you call it? Dime?
Dime Forward. Dime Forward. A musical.
Yes. And then once again, Tommy and I will be in New Orleans with Shane Torres this Thursday. Come on out. We really would appreciate to see you out there. And then I have a bunch of road stuff coming up. I'll be at Ann Arbor, Michigan. I will be at the Kansas City Comedy Club, Comedy Fort in Fort Collins, Colorado. Bunch of dates coming up, so come on out. There's more that I'm not thinking of right now, but nice. They're on my website, so come out to that. Tommy, what you got?
This was just locked in. Me and my friend Casey James Salengo just went on a little tour, and now we are going to co-headline a show in New York at Stand Up New York,
hey,
Wednesday, June 22nd, the day after my birthday. It's going to be my birthday party. June 22nd, me doing a half hour, Casey's doing a half hour. It will be a lot of fun, so come to that.
Fucking rules.
Cool.
All right, well.
I think Atlantic City July 2nd I'm doing stand up and then I have stuff this week. I don't know when this comes out, but
it'll be like
come
today
out
or tomorrow.
Today.
Yeah,
oh cool, yeah. I think I'm actually, but my friend Leo Evans also wrote a sequel to Jurassic Park. I'm doing a part in that Saturday.
Nice.
A show at Asylum Friday. I also have a Patreon, but I think I literally have two people, and one of them is just my parents sharing an account, and the other one is like my first grade teacher. But
so funny.
If you want to check out my weird musical improv extra content and stuff, it's on there. But yeah, and I'm on social media at MR Jacob Williams.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Follow Jacob. Check
Mr.
out his
Jacob
shows.
Williams.
And get on our Patreon too. Stand by your band. You get it. We'll see you guys next week. Thanks again, Jacob.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week. Keep it crispy. Bye.